Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us, come and learn with us. And today, we are going to be joined by a wonderful lady who has persevered throughout to really warn this nation of what is underfoot. So we're just so privileged to have Ms. Charlotte Iserby with us today. But first, we'd like to ask Ms. Christina Micus, if she doesn't mind, to start us on the right foundation, Ms. Christina.
I'd love to, Diana. Father God, we just come before you now, and we just ask your blessings upon this radio show, Father God. We just ask that the Spirit guide our words and drive this message that Charlotte's going to give to the listeners today deep into their hearts, Father God, that they will get an understanding of what is really going on with their children in these schools, Father God, and that they will make a stand as they need to do, Father God. They have to stand in the gap for their children. And so, Father God, we just pray this message goes forth and it goes far and wide, Father God, and is shared everywhere so that many can hear this message and hear the truth, Father God, and it will just witness to their spirits and start stirring them, Father God, to action. So, Father, we just thank you now as we go forth that your Spirit, now we give this show over to your Spirit, Father God, and let all that we say and do be all unto your glory and honor. And Father God, we just ask in all of these things and pray them in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Christina. And Ms. Christina, you know how we love to ask God for a word, and as I was preparing just now to speak, I just opened God's word after, you know, breathing a prayer for a word, and guess where I'm turned. And to me, this is really so much, I think, when I think about Jeremiah, and that's where I'm led to first chapter, and I think about the faithfulness of one Miss Charlotte Iserby. You know, it hasn't been easy for Miss Charlotte, but what she says has to be said.
Yes.
So, you know, and I'm wondering if that's not what the Lord is saying, is, you know, she has been faithful in spite of all the things that's going on, in spite of all those years of naysayers And mm-hmm. and to me, you know, her voice has proven itself. I mean, her
Amen.
Words, unfortunately, have come to fruition. Her warnings are true. And I think, you know, in this day when every state is having to deal with what is the latest assault on the minds of children
mm-hmm.
Through, unfortunately, education, I think it would be remiss not to ask Ms. Charlotte for her perspective. So, Ms. Charlotte, I'm so glad you've joined us. But if you don't mind, just start off, tell us what you want to tell us at the beginning, and then talk about also the latest venture, which is the sharing of information through that DVD set that you have going.
Well, I think thank you so much. Very kind words on your part. And there are a lot of us who've been involved for a long time, and sometimes we get pretty discouraged, so it's very nice to hear nice words like that, very encouraging. But the DVD set, which I'll start with, was a product of about 18 people, including public school teachers and longtime researchers, going back to the 60s, in fact, marvelous researchers who have been not unaffiliated with any particular political organizations. Old-time Goldwater-type conservatives, not the neoconservative Trotskyites that we're dealing with now. These are true blue Americans, and I'm not alone. See, I mean, I'm still making a lot of noise because I've lived longer, you know, but a lot of these people have passed away, too, not the ones who were speaking at the conferences, obviously. We had two conferences. And wonderful speakers, Anita Hoag, the expert on assessment, and Jeannie George is the expert on Marxist critical thinking, and Sam Blumenfeld, the expert on reading, and some teachers, one presently still in the public school system. Mm-hmm. And we had an administrator, principal for 35 years, public school principal from Texas. And I believe it was remarkable. It's a remarkable venture because we have the teachers with us, and for me to say this, of all people, you know, having written that 700-page book, which actually exposes the goals of American public education going back a couple hundred years almost, and documents all the horrible programs, the values-destroying things, and all, for me to be saying now, and with these good teachers, that we are between a rock and a hard place right now in the United States on education. And education, of course, is the key to the survival of any country. I mean, it's what you teach your children, what values you teach or what you don't teach. That's the key. It's not wars and bullets and guns and all that. Uh-uh. It's what goes in the head, what the children are conditioned with, bad, horrible, evil curriculum that they should never have to deal with, or whether they get good, sound history and math and science and academics, et cetera. You know all those things. And, the schools of America were deliberately, and that's the operative word, and when I use that word, I remember the neoconservatives, even back then, were very upset with me using that word. They kept trying to get me to take it out, and I didn't, and I refused to, because they could never put in what they've got now, what they're going for right now, if the schools hadn't been deliberately dumbed down. The American people will accept any poison, and this is the problem we have, the rock and the hard place. Now, the rock is really the poison. This is the poison drink. And that is what the neoconservatives are supporting, which is tax-funded private education. Now, it's very simple to see. I don't have to go into a lot of detail. Any entity, whether it's education or buying horses or whatever. Hi, Christina. No matter what it is. I mean, if Christina goes out and takes money from the Department of Agriculture to get a better horse, she's going to have to abide by the regulations of the Department of Agriculture. Now, Americans don't seem to get that. They don't understand that. They think they can take money from the Federal Department of Education or any federal office, right, and get away with it and be free. No, that's not true. So anyway, to make a long story short, let's just talk about the ROC. The ROC is supposedly the conservative side. Though, of course, the left loves it because the school choice agenda came from the left long ago. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce in 1945 called for vouchers. And Milton Friedman has called for vouchers. So it's not a conservative agenda about school choice until we had the Trotskyites come on board. And that makes sense because the communists certainly want to have the schools taken over by the state. That's in the Communist Manifesto. And Trotskyites are communists. So, of course, they support school choice. They know that the minute a homeschooler takes a penny, whether it's in a virtual, you know, computer curriculum or even public school services, the minute a private school takes a penny, a religious school does, and, of course, charter schools are taking plenty of pennies. They're public schools, basically. The only difference between them and a public school is that they don't have an elected school board. Let's underscore that. Hmm? That's the model for all education around the world in the future. Charter schools. They're international anyway. Now, they're going in like mad. It's a tragedy in Louisiana, for instance. It's just awful. I think 75% of the schools in New Orleans are charter schools. That means that those moms and dads have no place to go to complain. If you give up your elected officials, don't complain. Mm-hmm. Don't complain when your child comes home with communist core from a charter school. You're going to have to accept that communist core. You can't say boo. So that's the ROC. Now, that ROC is supported by the Neoconservative Heritage Foundation, which has affiliates in all states, and all other neoconservative groups, I'm saying at the national level, because there are still, I think, some marvelous conservatives in this country who don't happen to know what's going on either. But anyway, I'm not putting them in that basket with the bad ones, huh? So you've got the Conservative Heritage Foundation has affiliates in all states, pushing this agenda, which is the ROC side. Huh? You've got the Council on Foreign Relations pushing the same agenda, school choice and charter schools. Don't forget, school choice and charter schools, like motherhood and apple pie, or, you know, what is the old saying, apple pie without the cheese, is like the kiss without the squeeze. They go together. And don't you let any conservative group tell you that they're opposed to communist core. Well, they'll admit they support school choice, right? No, you cannot have charter schools without communist core, because communist core is the Marxist workforce training.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, these are the groups, and then we've got on that same ROC side, you've got Lewis Gerstner. Thank you so much, dear friend Christina, for helping me on that one. You informed me on that. I didn't even know it last year.
That was famous.
Lewis Gerstner, the former head of IBM, has come out twice, 5 years ago and last July, calling on Obama to tear down all 16,000 school districts, public school. Then we have, we've got Obama, we've got the Heritage Foundation, we've got the CFR, and we've got Lou Gerstner and Arne Duncan supporting school choice. Now that's enough for anybody in their right mind to say, I'm not going to go there. These people, it's very evil. They want to use our children to spin off profits for the global elite. That's all. They don't care. They don't care whether our kids are going to be assessed up the yin-yang and be remediated until their values conform with what's necessary for the new Soviet man, huh? And that's the whole goal, because the agreements were signed between Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev in 1985, which merged the two communist education systems. I mean, we have a commie system already.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Department of Ed is a Marxist Department of Education. So it's really merging two communist systems, which makes it even double trouble. So anyway, that's what you have. That's the rock that the conservatives want us to go down. You get all these emails, you know, from Heartland, Heritage, Pioneer, Joy Pullman, over and over. That's got to be a lot of tax-exempt money there,
Lindsay
they
Burke.
They want that. Our poor children. We owe more to our children than that. All right, now I'm going to get to the hard place. And the hard place is hard. That's what I've written about in my book. I've exposed the deliberate dumbing down of America. Now, the teachers should not be beat up on the way they've been beat up on. But the conservatives really have always loved beating up on the teachers. They never beat up on the Department of Education, interestingly enough. It's just the teachers. There are a lot of good teachers out there, and that's why we have them in our conference, you know, the DISC set. And they're fantastic, and they want to retain the good system that we had pre-1965. They have behind closed doors been trying to teach our children to read, to count, American history, all of these subjects that used to be taught and that were so necessary that haven't been taught, you know, for many, many years, because the goal was never academic. It was always brainwashing. That's why it costs so much. Brainwashing is very, very expensive, because people, thank God, the good Lord gave us a soul, right? And we reject, you know, we can be brainwashed for over in a week retreat or something, like a teacher going to the National Training Labs in Bethel, Maine. It was founded there, National Training Labs. I went through all that change agent training myself. But, you know, after you can go through that training and sit in the circle and be Delphi'd to death and have sensitivity training and spill your guts and everything and go home and have a totally different outlook towards life. But, woohoo, you know, within a month or so, you might revert to where you were, to your own character, your own beliefs, et cetera. So they have to keep, this is why it's so expensive, they have to keep, you know, recycling these poor teachers. How would you like to go through that for 20, 30, 40 years? That's what, people do not understand what the teachers have been going through. Now, so anyway, what we have on the other side is a call for, Ronald Reagan should have done it. Pulling down the U.S. Department of Education, gone forever. It's a Marxist factory. I worked in it. I saw all the programs. I saw all the funding going all over the world to change not only American children's values, but the values of all the other children of the world. So they'd be good little Soviet men. So I've seen it. I know what, I know all those programs out of the National Diffusion Network with, education hanging off the end of them, sex ed, drug ed, bullying ed, you name it. Huh? All those programs were designed intentionally. I know this because I have the proof in my book from the Guidance Counselor's Journal. Those programs were designed intentionally not to help your children with problems like sex and drugs and whatever, but to change your children's values. So you'd have no Christian values whatsoever. Death education is a perfect example of trying to destroy Christian values. Now, in that Guidance Counselor Journal, it said, we will use death education to change the students' attitudes, values, and beliefs the same way we use sex education to change their attitudes, values, and beliefs and attitudes towards sex and various sexual practices. See? Okay. It worked, didn't it? Those programs came out of my old office in the U.S. Department of Ed. They actually started in 1965, but it's still going on. They were designed to do just the opposite of what they told the parents. And I was trained to be a change agent myself, and I was taught how to resist the parents who didn't go along with those programs. I was trained, and that was very interesting because I was one of those parents. I was a school board member, but who resisted, huh? But anyway, I'm pointing this out because I am not someone who is a big supporter of public education as it exists right now. I mean, I'm not, I think it's horrible. I'm not a supporter, forget it. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. But we have to go back there rather than the heart, the rock. The rock is such poison, it can't be changed. The rock is so bad because we don't have elected officials. Basically, that's the main reason the rock is bad, that we can't even look at it. Any form of tax-funded school choice has got to be off the slate. No consideration whatsoever. No way. Go away. Now, if we, you know, we probably will not be able to get our elected officials to get rid of the U.S. Department of Education, but we've got to try, because when we meet our maker, what are we going to say? Oh, well, we knew it wouldn't work, so we didn't try. What kind of an answer is that?
It's not an answer. We have to do everything we can.
That's right. And I know it's a rough road to hoe, but the other side is poisonous. I mean, it must be. Can you believe any man, whether CEO or not, could have the gall, the disgusting nerve to call on the President of the United States to destroy all 16,000 school districts in this country? How many children are involved there? The thought of it makes me cry.
Regionalism.
No elected boards. That's why, see?
Gertrude, no, it's regionalism.
Yes, regionalism. That's no elected boards. It's
right.
Communism.
Right.
And that's what they want. And so we really, rock and hard place, that's the only way to put it. And I must say it's very difficult for me, being the author of The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, which has exposed public school education, you know, up the yin-yang, huh? Well, you know, for me to be recommending that we hold on to the system, I am. I'm recommending we hold on to the hierarchical structure. I'm not talking about all those rotten programs that I was trained to put in as a change agent, huh? I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the structure, and it's a wonderful structure, kindergarten through 12th grade, a grading system, A, B, C, D, E, F. You can fail, little one, you know. You can fail if you stay out all night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that, graduating, you know, 4 years of math, science, English, history, et cetera, competition. Now, what they're putting in now is the RISC program, which is very risky, although it's spelled with a C on the end. And that was admitted in this latest report that we've gotten, Christina, by the big guys. We managed to locate the real essence, you know, the underbelly of the school choice charter school to work thing, the underbelly. And it says right there that the RISC program is the program. I knew it all along. Remember I've talked about it?
Mm-hmm.
They admit that that RISC program is it. They talk about it coming out of Alaska, Chugach, Alaska, 10
uh-huh.
years ago or more, 14. That's the model. I want your listeners to go and type in Reinventing Schools Coalition. And it's called RISC. And the teachers around here, because they piloted it here too, and that's how I found out about it about 4 years ago, but teachers around here are telling me, Charlotte, they don't call it RISC anymore. They call it Marzano. Well, Marzano is even a much scarier title than RISC, because Robert Marzano is a behavioral psychologist who believes in Marxist thinking. He's the most important person right now in education and Marxist thinking. Common Core is full of Marzano.
Mm.
Okay, Marzano is all involved in the RISC program. Now, the RISC program does exactly what I just spelled out for you that should not happen. It takes away A, B, C, D. It takes away K through 12. Your child can graduate at 14 or 21. It takes away competition. It's continuous progress. It's Skinner in space. It is the Soviet system of education. Now, The Soviet paper we have is at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com. And I think you have to type in Soviet. You can find it, Christina, for your friends. You've seen it anyway. You can go get that paper for whoever needs it.
You're talking about it's in the Soviets in the classroom?
No. It's a study. Actually, in 1959, after Eisenhower signed the first agreement with the Soviet Union, right at the peak of the Cold War, in 1959, the U.S. Office of Education sent educators over to the Soviet Union to study their education system. And they came back with a big, fat study. It's at Sam's website. I've sent it to you in the past. I'll try to find it for you. But it's identical to RISC. Identical. So we know where the Soviet education system is what the neoconservative Trotskyites want to put in.
Yep.
That's what they put in. And that's why I say rock and hard place. I can't go there. I certainly am not happy going with where we are right now, but personally, I do believe that if they just stopped messing around with changing now with charter schools and all this and that and all, and would just try to focus on pulling the whole thing together for the sake of our children and maybe getting some protections in there for them, we'd be better off. But the Department of Education, where all of this comes from, my old office, has got to go. It is an unconstitutional entity, absolutely, and it has created the dumbing down. My office was responsible for the Nation at Risk report that came out. Your listeners are too young to understand that was a report that got all the Americans on board with the restructuring. American people didn't know that. But, you know, it's the dialectic. They, in quotes, which at that time, you know, prior to my getting into the office, I was sitting in the seat of the former head of President Carnegie of the Harvard or Columbia, because that was the guy who had my job before I got it. I didn't get it because I had credentials. I got it simply because the President Reagan was supposed to abolish the Department of Ed, so it didn't make any difference who was in these slots. It was the hand of God that put me in there, so I had access to all the old papers from pre-Reagan, to all the papers, all the plans for what's going in right now. And I saw it. It was my office. All these things were my office. Technology, computers, continuous improvement, Skinner, school to work, merger of the public and private sector. You could go on and on and on. That was my office and A Nation at Risk, which was the phony report saying American schools were so bad, you know, with all sorts of phony statistics, came out of my office. And then an admiral challenged that report, and I think the Sandy Institute or whatever it's called checked the statistics and found out that they were very skewed. They had to have that report to move forward. See, that's how the dialectic works. Create the problem. You want something, for instance, right? So in order to get it, you know, people aren't going to accept what you want unless you manipulate them.
Right.
So you create the problem. You get them to scream. And then you can come and you can give them any solution that you want, because they'll take anything, like they will right now, honestly. So they fell for the Nation at Risk back in the 80s, which brought all this restructuring in that I'm talking about today. And they will fall for anything that has been deliberately created. Any problem they deliberately create, they can get what they want. And so that happened. And then, of course, I got myself fired for leaking a document on a technology. And for people who think they can have school choice, tax-funded school choice, let me point this out. There's a document, it was a document, one page in there that was really the reason for my leaking that document. The major reason was it was computers and technology, and I know that computers can change students' values, no problem. Socratic questioning is very, very easy to change a person's values through the computer, and the computer scientists will tell you that. All that information is in my big book, Deliberate Dumbing Down, in the appendices. where they admit that you have to have a conscience if you're developing computer courseware. If you see something wrong, you don't do it, huh? So anyway, the computer's bad enough. This is Project Better Education Skills Through Technology that I got a hold of, and I saw what they were going to do, sending all the money out, all the courseware already developed to 50 states. And people, you know, fighting Common Core, Communist Core, they think that what they're looking at is new.
Yeah.
I mean, there were 15,000 goals were sent out in 1970 to every state. And this is the same goals. They just changed the names. That's all. So I got all these parents worrying about Common Core, Communist Core. That's not the issue. But they're smart. If they can keep the looking at Communist Core, they can slip the charter schools in without the elected boards, and then everybody's going to say, oh, well, you know, gee whiz, we've got the second largest item in the U.S. budget after defense is run by unelected boards. That's charter schools, right? No elected boards. You know what an elected board is, parents? An elected board is a group of people who have been elected by the taxpayers of the municipality to represent them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think I have to tell Americans what an elected board is. And so when your child comes home with a horrible thing like I saw, where they were teaching the three types of sexual intercourse in 1976 in Maine health education, which included with animals.
Yep.
All right. Wouldn't you as a parent sort of like to be able to go to your elected official and say, stop this? Okay, you're not going to be able to do that with charter schools or the school choice. And what I found in that document was a page that said on the top, confidential, like the CIA or something, the Department of Ed, confidential, internal document. This is why I leaked it. And then it said, what we can control and manipulate at the local level. Well, let me ask the people out there who think it's okay to take tax-funded stuff and you're not going to have to conform, huh? What we can control and manipulate at the local level, you know, simply because it's tax-funded. And then it said, content of curriculum, members of the task force, teacher training, et cetera. And that's a piece of paper that was in that packet. And so I decided, well, I'm going to leak this. And so I got all the other documents out before because I knew I was going to get fired. So I got all the other important documents out that I was talking about earlier, all the grants going all over the world to change every country's education system, like Thailand. I had to get rid of the classic education system in Thailand because the Thais, see, they're sort of interested in holding on to their history and their way of life. Oh, no, no. We have to send our change agents all over the world to destroy not just our education system, but everybody's, so they can all be internationally minded and get rid of their culture and get rid of their religion and get rid of everything and put in this globalist education system on the computer. And it's the same everywhere. The only thing that's different is it's in a different language. And it's all Marxism. Because regionalism is Marxism. Gorbachev said it, you know, in London, 2001 in London. He told the English over there and other people as well. He said, the European Union is the new European Soviet. So what is the North American Union, folks? Oh, you know, the Americans are going to say, oh, that's silly for you to say that that would be the same for us. Oh? Oh, is it silly? I don't think it's so silly.
Wish it
regionalism
were.
Is communism.
Yeah.
And it has been admitted to by that professor, Zeitlin, from the University of California, L.A., in an article in the Communist Daily World in 1976.
And then?
He said it. Yeah, he said it. He didn't really say it the way Charlotte puts it, but I'm going to let you all figure this out. He said, we're moving too slowly towards regionalism. And then in the United States, complaining about it, because there was some resistance back then from great people like Maureen Eaton and Don Bell and a lot of other people. No more. You do hear it from people like Rosa Corey and Michael Shaw. They finally got it. They know what it is. But
yeah.
Zeitlin just put it this way. He said, "So it really a shame we're moving so slowly. We should move faster." He said, "It worked so well in the Soviet Union."
Mm-hmm.
Now, you interpret that in any other way than that regionalism is communism. It breaks down the borders between local, county, state, et cetera. The representation becomes far, far away from you. You have less representation. You have all these little unelected councils being formed. You have all that in California. The council form of government, if you look in the dictionary, you'll see it's called a Soviet. It's a Soviet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to live under a Soviet council form of government? Well, I have an old paper from Montgomery County, Maryland in 1948, and it talks about that Soviet form of government. And it talks about using the Montgomery County schools as the pilot to put it into the United States. And it's at my son's website, American Deception. You can go and look it up, and you can read it yourself. And it lists all the major change agents involved in putting this in the late 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I'm just telling people, you got to wake up. I mean, it's awfully late.
Oh, yes, Ms. Charlotte, I know. We're behind. We're running behind. I just want to, just going over what you said, and it's, we've heard David Axelrod say, out of his words, this Common Core was an Obama initiative, which, of course, what he did was put it on steroids, kind of like the health care,
Right.
Everything's on steroids, and, yes, he is trying to take credit for it, which everybody does not. On the other side, the Common Core proponents doesn't want Obama to take credit for it because it's not too popular right now. But he had his hand in it. Like you said, it was a plan, a master plan that's been here for a long time. But I've got a couple of questions about what do you say to the minority? Because like in Alabama, and I don't know what other states, there's now those race-based standards. What do you think about that?
What kind of standards? What did you say?
It's race-based standards.
Oh, yeah, it's just horrible. If you want my views on what they did with the minorities, and Betty Peters knows how I feel about this, go to my website, Deliver Dumbing Down, and there's a whole list of PDFs, articles I've written, and one is called Experimentation on Minorities. This whole Skinner method, school to work, no grades, continuous progress, mastery learning system that is being put in. Now they're putting it into all the schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
The white communities as well, the fancy high-income communities, everybody's going to get it. But they use the minorities to experiment on changing the system over a period of 40 years. So this is something that should be made known down in Alabama and Mississippi. I remember our Jackson, Mississippi, a marvelous gal lived in Jackson. If it hadn't been for her, you know her probably, Beverly knows her. If it hadn't been for her, and her first name is Beverly, actually, not Betty, Beverly, you probably know her. She's now living in Alabama. She informed me about the effective schools, and that's with an E. And I found out all about the effective school report that was being published, put together in the basement of Superintendent Fortenberry in Jackson, Mississippi, back in 1980, and then mailed from Grand Central Station all over the world. Am I blowing your socks off? That's how deep the South has been involved in this, and the reason they were was because they had the minorities to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's disgusting.
It is.
And they used them, and then, of course, the test scores went down because they weren't even teaching them academics. They were not requiring competition. They were giving them these stupid individual education plans. No grades, all this garbage, Skinner. I could make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it on a proper schedule. So the kids are pigeons? All our children are now, thanks to the neoconservatives, who adopted this whole system completely in 1981. When I went into the U.S. Department of Ed, I saw it. This is a system that makes the kids sick. You know, they've got to say a certain number of words in a certain amount of time and write it perfectly and all this and that. They're getting sick. We have on the disc set, there are pictures, images of what's a letter from a doctor in Arizona to a congressman in regard to these programs making children sick. That's what I'm trying to get across to these people in the southern states. They won't listen. Mastery learning, they called it in the beginning. Then they called it outcomes-based education. Then they got caught, and then they had to go back and call it the original word, direct instruction, which came out of 1965, Siegfried Engelmann, direct instruction. And those gals down in the South, they will go up against me. I mean, it's amazing. You have to give them credit. They're really pretty good when they want to get their own way. They love direct instruction. They've never done anything to stop it. Phyllis Schlafly's never done anything to stop it. She knows what it is. She knows what school choice is. What's she doing about it? Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, in 1996, I sent her a 25-page email or fax or something with a letter all about school choice, where it came from. It came from the left, that the NEA at the top supports it. That, you know, I mean, I just follow you. It's on my internet. Just go to AmericanDeception.com and type in Schlafly. It's her beat to Schlafly.
Yep.
Very important for people to know how they've been. I mean, this is sad for me to say this because on many issues I have supported Phyllis, and I think she's brilliant. And I don't like to talk this way, but I have to, because what comes first, the country or Phyllis? The children or Phyllis?
The children.
Why isn't she taking a stand on school choice and letting the country know how dangerous it is? I don't get it. I mean, then you've got other people like, you know, with the, well, at least, you see, that's why, good for Phyllis, at least she's going up against the Constitutional Convention.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant on that. And then you've got Michael Ferris, who's going up against her.
Yeah.
Homeschool legal defense.
Yeah.
How can any lawyer not know that the homeschool, the Constitutional Convention could be opened up, and it's the end of any constitution? The name, the word constitution, is in the label of Constitutional Convention. I mean, that's another very serious thing. There are several serious things right now, and they aren't Common Core. That's not serious. It can be changed with flip of a, you know, push a button. Arne Duncan can push a button in the morning, and all the standards will be different. So let's get over the issue of Common Core, which is nothing but a diversion. There are three issues. One is regionalism, communist form of government that's really been installed now. We pretty much got it, and with its unelected boards. The other is school choice, charter schools, unelected boards. And the third one, the most important one, is probably the Constitutional Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though we may have a good 10, 15 years to slow this thing down and keep it from happening, which is fantastic. Thank you, American people, behind closed doors, doing this as you have for many, many years. We're meant to go down in 1976, you see. Declaration of Interdependence, 125 members of Congress signed on to turn the United States over to the United Nations. Hmm? So now it would be 250 because the neocons are on board. But we kept that from happening. We, those are Americans out there that never get any credit for the media. They're never going to tell anybody when there's been a victory in your town, whether it's on the school board or it's a regional planning thing or whatever. They're not going to give you coverage because they don't want the rest of the country to know that we have been slowing them down. So let's take that 25, 35, 39 years. What? That is how effective we've been. That's good news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know whether it would have been 76. I have a feeling it was more like 1990 when George Bush announced when he went into the Gulf, right, that this is the beginning of the New World Order. That probably was more like it. But I do think they had counted on 1976 when they had that it's Philadelphia, that great ceremony. And, you know, so we may have a good 10 or 15 years left to fight these people, but, I have to tell you this, if the Constitutional Convention goes through, they only have two states that they need, two,
mm-hmm.
If that goes through, they're going to take our Constitution away. We will not have, they will destroy our country, our constitutional government, because that has been planned for many years. Rexford Tugwell in the 40s, he was a Roosevelt brain trust guy. He wrote the New States Constitution. Go look it up. Go look up the New States Constitution. Tugwell, T-U-G-W-E-L-L. And you'll read what they had planned for us. And that's exactly what we're going to get. It's already...
Isn't it the Ford Foundation?
Yes.
The Ford Foundation is the one that has done this New States Constitution.
Right.
And people, read it. Do yourselves a favor and read it. It'll scare them.
You have to. And to think that Michael Farris supports the Con-Con.
I know.
And Michael Farris, you know, all the homeschool people think that homeschool legal defense is going to defend them. You know, if say somebody comes and knocks on your door, you're a homeschooler, you think that because you've paid into homeschool legal defense that homeschool legal defense is going to defend you in court? No, they're not going to defend you, single homeschooler in court. They will always go and defend the homeschool legal defense or the right of homeschoolers to teach their children, but not you. They're not going to help pay your legal fees. They don't tell you that. And also, I just want to go through a little bit of this. Michael Farris also has supports the Parental Rights and Responsibility Act. Now, that's been waiting in the wings. He loves that. And Cindy Weatherly, you know, the editor of my book, she's really going up against him. And in the Christina, the disc set, you know, on number 8, there are two
uh-huh.
articles of Cindy's there,
uh-huh.
which discuss the controversy that ensued with Michael Farris and a very leading American jurist by the name of Professor Charles Rice, who came down on Cindy's side against Farris, that this is very dangerous. You do not go to the government to get them to give you the right to do what you want as a parent, do you?
Since when?
I mean, what the government can give, it can also take.
Amen.
Don't
and you know,
Cobb,
Charlie, when you read, when the listeners go to this proposed Constitution of the New States of America, you read it and you see how they've changed the verbiage.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's frightening. If you really read it and look at it, it is frightening of how this will not give you freedom.
No.
Well,
Ms.
Christina and Ms. Charlotte, you know, there's something going on in our state which for a lot of people it seems like, you know, we're on the right road because, you know, we've lost our parental rights, you know, with this Common Core. And so, you know, we want a bill to pass that, you know, gives parents rights over education, among other things. And so, and I'm thinking to myself, now, why is this coming up all of us? Yes, sudden. Yeah, we've had this problem. But
you had
some warning thoughts about that, Ms. Charlotte.
Well, yeah. I mean, that you see, we're just going to do it over and over and over again. And we had the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment, which I was very responsible for getting the regulations for that while I was in the Department of Ed. And then we had the hearings all over the country, 10 hearings, and we got regulations. And then Phyllis Schlafly and I wrote that book, Child Abuse in the Classroom, marvelous book. That's at my son's website, American Deception. If people want to really see what the programs were, these horrible programs, they're all in there verbatim because I provided them. I had access to all of them while I was in the department. That's a very important book, child abuse in the classroom. But anyway, the point is, yes, we have it. We have the Protection of People Rights Amendment. We have regulations. Just try to carry that out in your state. I mean, if you can't, good luck, huh? I mean, it's very sad. We have it, but we've never been able to get it to be enforced. Anita Hogue did win her case in Pennsylvania. Good for her. She's absolutely brilliant on this. But what they did, I mean, it's almost ludicrous when I tell you this. You have to laugh. She won her case against the State Department of Ed in Pennsylvania under federal law, the Protection of People's Rights Amendment. And you know what they did? They just changed the name of the test.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Think about that one, huh? So when you talk about trying to get legislation in your state to take care of this, because what you're doing, you're actually going after federal programs, this is a waste of time. It's a total waste of time. Again, it's a diversion. You should be fighting charter schools and
mm-hmm.
school choice.
Mm-hmm.
You should be going to the governor and all your elected officials and saying, get rid of every single charter school in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because once mm-hmm. those charters go into place, it's all over, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
people don't understand.
I mean, there's a good article in the Deliberate Dumbing Down under Effective Schools, actually. I think it's Effective School Report. It's an article from Russia by a guy from England on effective schools and what they're doing in Russia, agreements with the United States and Russia. And in Russia, it's a little bit scary. It talks all about contract schools. That's the same thing, right? It talks about working with the corporations, and it talks about some extraordinary, interesting research, brain research they're doing. And much of this this is what we're talking about with charter schools. You know what, charter school, again, I'm just going to explain what a charter school is. People think that it's not a public school. It's a public school.
Public school, yeah.
Yeah, it's the only difference is that it doesn't have an elected school board.
Right.
See? And that's how they're going to get us to accept unelected form of government in this country, because I think I said earlier, who on earth is going to bother? After we've turned over the second largest budgetary item in this country, after defense, to unelected councils, think about it, huh? School education is going to be run by appointed people that you cannot get rid of. All right?
Winds up being a public-private partnership.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's no accountability whatsoever. But once you've let that happen, why would the American people, I mean, they're not too bright anyway at this point.
No.
And they're not awake. So what makes you think that they're going to bother to ever uphold elected boards at the very low level, like clerk or treasurer in your town or county commissioner or maybe even state legislator? Why not just give up the whole thing? A lot easier to stay at home. You don't have to go to the polls. That's the danger. That is the enormous danger of charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else is it does not have an elected board. We cannot let that happen. And I just want to make it very clear. I was an elected board member, and the liberals finally got rid of me. Well, you know what I say? Good for them. That's the way it should be. If they can get rid of me, I can get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is our form of government. We cannot give up. There was an ad on your program earlier, which I agreed with everything the guy was saying was before it started, except he was talking about the Constitution and how our children aren't taught the Constitution. That's true. And they're not taught the religious opinion, the foundation.
That was
David country,
Charlotte. That was
so
David
cool.
Barton.
But then he went and he was talking about how we always focus on taxation without representation. And we make such a big deal of that. I heard him say that. And I thought, wait a minute. You better get it straight, buddy, whoever it is.
David Barton.
If you, yeah, Mr. Barton, Reverend Barton, if you lose your right to vote, you might as well just move over to Nazi land or Stalin land.
Right.
Doesn't he understand that?
He, well, David Barton is still, unfortunately, first school choice because he doesn't get, he's not getting it yet, and that's one of the problems. He definitely is about school choice, and
well, maybe
we've, somehow
this,
we've got to get him, you know, off that.
Why don't you play this tape to him? Tie him down in a chair.
Yeah.
And make
okay, Miss Charlotte. We won't
What's
have
that?
To tie him down. I think we can share that.
You know, let me share one thing about legislation in Georgia. What's happening now is American Principles Project, and you know, Charlotte, that's Jane
oh, yeah.
Robbins.
Yep.
And all of them, Concerned Women for America, you know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
And who's the other one? Well, Eagle Forum, I hate to say it.
Yep.
Anyway, they're working privately with the governor and the legislatures get Common Core, quote, unquote, this is an appeasement thing, to make the parents think that they're going to get rid of Common Core. But they're not going to do it right away. They just have to phase it out over 2 years. Well, you know as well as I do, and this is the American
president. They'll have all the charter schools in across the country.
Exactly. So they give them enough time to put in the charters, which is, of course, is that corporatism, fascism, as we know.
Yep.
And so by the time, so all of that is smoke screens. And here you've got these so-called neocon Trotskyites out there working against what we're trying to do. And then during my research, when I was researching the CNP, I found a link to Alec to connect Alec and the legislatures together. And you know this, Charlotte. The Alec, which is the organization of all the corporations, they're actually driving the agenda of these legislatures. So we're in there fighting our legislatures to do X, Y, and Z, and they're being funded by Alec to work against us.
It is so absolutely bizarre. I mean, how we've ever allowed our system to get so tied in knots that we can't undo them. It is really awful. And if we can't we just, I know, I think on one of the discs I said, because we have the to-do list, right, on
right.
our disc, how to take America back. And I remember saying, can't you, you know, just find one? Oh, gee, one legislator in your state, one good one?
See, this is the problem. They're sold out.
So
what do you do when you're trying to go to your
legislators
and they're sold out? And they're being controlled by Alec because Alec is driving legislation for every state.
And they have all the money.
And they've got all the money.
Wow. Well, let me, we have a couple of minutes. Ms. Charlotte, thank you, and Ms. Christina. And I just want to say this for the listeners. I hope you listen again because I'm going to have to listen twice to this show because, as always, Ms. Charlotte gives us an awful lot of information, all necessary, all needed. And I love what you just, you know, opened my eyes about the death ed because, you know, that was a big deal that was going around because there was a school
terrible.
In Wisconsin that was playing that game. So thank you, Ms. Charlotte. That's very timely. And
you're very
I
welcome.
Do say, you know.
I appreciate the time and I appreciate your giving me so much time to mouth off and not interrupting me because I'm
well,
really good at mouthing
we appreciate
off.
It. We appreciate you've been warning us for a long time. And, you know, we did have a conference here, Ms. Charlotte, which there were over, I think, 1,000 people in attendance. So there are people that, you know, that are very concerned. So we thank
well,
you
because
we're
going to
share this with them.
Yeah, well, that's good, yeah, because you've got to keep them, they are concerned and good and wonderful, but we can't allow them to be diverted.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad because when you have good people like that, that you've obviously got, they shouldn't be wasting their time moving in the wrong direction. That's not fair.
No.
On them.
Well, another thing that I want to point out, too, is I think Meryl Hope might have been the one that said it, Ms. Christina, which is that every charter school in California is Common Core aligned now.
Yes, that's right.
There's no question.
How many years?
There's
there
no question.
Is, there's a legislative connection there, a requirement in Race to the Top, I think. that they be aligned. See, and that, and you know, when, for instance, Heritage Foundation, which supports charter schools, when they say that they're opposed to Common Core, that's the biggest joke. Heritage Foundation drafted the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Correct.
How can they be opposed to Common Core? Common Core is the curriculum, the school-to-work curriculum, and Marxism necessary to carry out this school-to-work agenda for the North American Free Trade thing.
But
I
they
mean,
were
come
with
on.
Reagan, weren't they, when he did
yes,
the thing with
Reagan
Gorbachev?
Set up the Reagan, Meese, and Weinberger broke our capitalist economic system when
right.
they implemented public-private partnerships. That was the White House. I was the liaison with the White House on that. Reagan, Ed Meese, and Caspar Weinberger, they decided that we wanted to go the way of Japan, that we didn't want to have the free market any longer. How about it? Thank you, Ronnie.
And Ed Meese was with Heritage.
Compromise. It's a dirty word, I believe. But
yes, it sure is.
It's definitely a deception.
So good, and God bless you all.
Well,
thank
bless.
You so much, Miss Charlotte. And all, Miss Charlotte, we're going to close in prayer. And, you know, we'd like to give it to God in prayer in closing, if you don't mind. We're going to do that. And Miss Christina, you prayed in the beginning, so I will do that. Unless Miss Charlotte wants to close us in prayer. Miss Charlotte, do you want to close us in
prayer?
Oh,
I'm not nearly as good as you girls. You're used to it. I would probably say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Thy will be done. Okay, and I'll add to it. I'll add some more to it, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet. And, Lord, it is no accident that you had me turn to Jeremiah because, Lord, Miss Charlotte has been like a voice like that, Lord. She has given it her life, Lord. And it's because she cares about the children. So, Lord, we ask for those that are listening to open their eyes, to study what she has said, Lord. Even if they doubt it, the least they could do because they love the child in front of them is to study. And, Lord, I just pray for those people that are on the other side. There's so many good people, as Miss Charlotte has said. But, Lord, they don't understand. And the ones that do, Lord, we ask that you help them. Because, Lord, you said it is better to hang a millstone around your neck and be thrown to the depth of the sea than to lead these little ones to sin, to stumble. And, Lord, we're hearing horror stories of children, Lord, doing all sorts of things to their bodies because they cannot control what is being put in their minds. So, Lord, we ask for mercy, and we ask for the listeners to put that child in front of them and to realize they must speak the truth, even though it's not pretty, even though it's not what we want to hear, Lord. It is our duty, Lord, to honor and to love the children that you have gifted us. So, Lord, help us. And, Lord, help us to make a difference. We ask this, Lord, in the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Miss Charlotte.
Well, that's
Thank
a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless
everybody.
Listeners, yes, God bless you. And listen to the podcast. Share it with everyone. CityOnAHill.tv. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.